Suppose if most people were asked to name the four Gospels, we could all rattle those off pretty easily. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, most people have said the fifth Gospel can rightly be called the book of Isaiah. Isaiah has so many messianic overtones as he talks about the suffering servant, about Jesus being born of a virgin, and about the various titles and hats that Jesus would wear that people have often said you could stick Isaiah right behind John and you have a good picture of who Jesus Christ is. If that is true, then you'd have to lay the book of Micah right alongside Isaiah. Micah spoke in the 8th century B.C., contemporary with Isaiah. Now, there is one difference. Isaiah and his 66 chapters spends most of his time preaching in the palaces and to kings and about political reform and things of that nature. But Micah has often been called the country preacher because Micah preached at the same time as Isaiah, but he preached among the common people that dwelt in Israel. Now, by country preacher, we do not mean less significant, but Isaiah got, as Glenn likes to say, right in their zip code. He preached right where the people could get it. The name Micah means who is like Yahweh. And in 7 chapters throughout this short book, he shows us exactly who Yahweh is. He shows us exactly who the Lord is as he rebukes these people for their sin and their unrighteousness, as he holds out God's requirements and says, this is what God demands of you as his people. And as he also speaks of a better day that is yet to be ushered in. Would you open up your Old Testament to the book of Obadiah tonight? In the time we have remaining, I want to show you 4 points about God and his word through the prophet Micah, and what he shows us about the incomparable God of the Old Testament. Number one, Micah shows us that he is a prophet who rebukes sin on God's behalf. God is a God that rebukes sin. That's Micah chapter 1. That's how he starts out in verses 3 through 5. He speaks about God coming on the scene and about God rebuking sin. God's going to come down, he says. And then in verse 4, the mountains quake, the earth is afraid. Verse 5, why? Because of the transgression of Jacob, the sin of God's people. In just 7 chapters, Micah hits on just about any sin that God's people could have practiced in this ancient time. He speaks of the righteous individual disappearing off the scene. In Micah 7 and verse 2, he couldn't find an upright man. In Micah chapter 2 and verse 1, he says there are certain people that lay up at night, they can't sleep, and they imagine evil on their beds. In Micah 2 and verse 2, he speaks of individuals who are covetous and greedy. In the first 4 verses of Micah chapter 3, he says the leaders try to manipulate the people and they have greed on their minds. In Micah 3 and verse 11, he mentions 2 separate sins. 1, the preachers preach for money. And 2, the people think that just because they're God's people, they can do whatever they want to do and God won't hold them accountable. The first thing to know about Micah is this. He is a fiery preacher who is bold in his rebuke of sin, but not just any sin, the sin of God's people. Put Micah in line right behind Isaiah, right behind Jeremiah, right behind Amos, and right behind every other prophet that didn't just rebuke sin generally, but they rebuke God's people. We all like to hear a good sermon. We like when people talk about sins, especially the sins that we don't practice. It's always great to amen a sermon that doesn't rebuke my shortcomings and my sin. Micah knew their sin and he didn't preach around it. He was very specific as he told them, this is what you're doing and God's going to hold you accountable for it. You won't get away from it. He says they did evil with both hands earnestly. Micah 7 and verse 3. When Jesus quotes that passage in Matthew chapter 10, a man's foes will be those of his own household. He picks it right up out of Micah 7 and verse 6, because in that day, even in their families, there was corruption and there was wickedness. Micah says, I'm going to rebuke you for your sin because somebody needs to tell you the truth. And Micah says, I've signed up to do the job. A preacher is not your enemy when he tells you the truth. Galatians 4:16. I think we need to get back to this bold preaching of Micah, where Micah just says, here's your sin, here's what you're doing wrong, here's your wickedness, and you need to repent of that. You can do that in love, you can do that in kindness, but it must be done. Paul says, speak the truth in love, but he did say, speak the truth, Ephesians 4:15, and that's exactly what Micah does. He rebukes these people for their sin because they needed to hear it. Micah does what you want your doctor to do when you're not feeling well, what you want your dentist to do when you have cavities. You may not like it, but you can't make the recommended changes until you know about the problem. And so you say, hit me with the truth straight. Just tell me, do I need to lose 20 pounds? I don't want to, but just tell me. Do we really have to do a root canal? Well, just tell me so that I can fix it. I may not like it, but that doesn't change the fact that I need to know it. Micah says, there's sin in the camp. God's people need to know it. We live in a world today that's really run through what we call filters. You can be anybody you want to be any day of the week you want to be. You can take a picture. You can be light skin or dark skin. It can be black and white or it can be sunny. However you want to make it, you can live in an alternate reality of your choosing. Micah says, I'm going to bring you into reality. The truth is, though God's people were prosperous and wealthy and satisfied, they were sinful. And God's a God in the book of Micah that says, I'm going to rebuke you for your sins. Number two, Micah relays God's requirements to the people. Go to Micah chapter 6. Micah's preaching to people who thought they knew God. They thought they knew what God wanted, but in the end, they really didn't. They were mistaken. In Micah chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, what you have is God's people saying, what should I bring before God? What does God want? 1,000 calves or 10,000 rivers of oil? Or should I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? How can I please God? And notice verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Micah number 1 says, I'm going to rebuke you for your sin. But number 2, let me relay God's requirements to you. And here they are in Micah 6 and verse 8. Do justly, walk humbly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Coming off the heels of a year when justice became a buzzword, a movement among many, whether you believe that's for good or for ill, the truth of the matter is this. Justice is God's word. It's always been in the Bible. It doesn't belong to any camp or any group. It's not something God's people need to run away from. Micah says God has shown it to you, and you can't be God's person if you don't practice it. Proverbs 21 and verse 3 says, justice and judgment are more preferable to God than the burning of sacrifices. That is, do justice, do the right thing, be a person of righteousness, love mercy. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they'll receive mercy. Here's the question. In the day of judgment, do you want mercy or do you want justice? Every one of us is going to be needing mercy. Jesus says, well, if you want some, you should start extending some to others. Do justice, love mercy, and then he says, walk humbly with your God. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5, 6. God exalts the humble, but he brings the lowly down to where they belong. James 4 and verse 10. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, 18. Micah says, listen, this is what God requires of you. And appreciate this. You're in the old covenant. And notice what Micah is saying. You can please God. Sometimes we get this idea that in the Old Testament, the law of Moses is there and all of these requirements and all of these laws. And who could have dared keep it? He says he's shown it to you. He's revealed it to you. God told you what you have to do to please him. And it can be done. Love justice. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Health experts say that you have to walk, if you're an adult at least, 10,000 steps every day to be healthy. I don't know. Did you get your 10,000 in today? Well, here's the bad news. If you walk 20,000 steps with man, but you don't walk one with God, you're spiritually unhealthy and unfit. There's this common phrase throughout Scripture, and he walked with God. Noah's generation was wicked, but Genesis 9 and verse 6 says, Noah walked with God. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, and Genesis 17, 1 says, God told him, walk before me and be perfect. Walk with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was so righteous that God just took him right out of the garden of the earth. And Genesis 5:24 says that God took him. Walk with God. Micah relays God's requirements to God's people, and he says, it's right there out in front of you. You can do it. We can please God. We can do what God requires of us. We have to make the decision to choose to do it. This idea that we're not perfect doesn't mean that we can't be blameless. Sometimes that's the first thing we say. Well, none of us is going to be perfect. Well, the good news is God hasn't required perfection, but he has demanded faithfulness, and he won't settle for anything less. We can get it right without getting it perfect. And Micah says we must. He has shown you, old man, what the Lord requires of you. We've seen it. Now will we do it? 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. It is not the case that what God wants is so difficult that nobody can do it. Micah told the people, yes, you can. Now, here's number 3. Micah rebukes sin. He relays God's message, but he also reveals God's heart. Go to Micah chapter 7 and notice verses 18 through 20. I don't know who was the first one to propagate this lie, but it was somebody who didn't read the Old Testament. This idea that the God of the Old Testament is mean and wrathful and vengeful, and somebody did an intervention with God in the intertestamental period, and then in the New Testament, God learned grace and mercy. It's just not true. The Old Testament says these things. God is a God of grace and long-suffering and compassion, and he relents to do evil. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. That's in the Old Testament. That he's a God full of compassion. Psalm 86 and verse 5. That he abounds in steadfast love. Psalm 86 and verse 15. And then this golden text in Micah 7, 18 through 20. He says God's serious about sin. God wants you to do what he says, but God is also serious about forgiveness. He pardons iniquity, verse 18. He wants to remove transgression. He'll cast it into the depths of the sea. He delights in mercy, verse 19, and he will fulfill the promise to the patriarchs, Micah 7 and verse 20. God is serious about sin, but he's equally serious about forgiveness and compassion. Right there in the Old Testament, that's the God we serve. Let God tell you who he is. Oh, God will send people to hell that want to go, that rebuke him and turn away from him. But he also cast our sins behind his back, Isaiah 38, 17. You and I haven't done anything that's so bad that God won't forgive us if we turn to him in penitence and seek him. He delights in mercy. It's not that God says, okay, you repented, I guess I'll forgive you again. He wants you to. He is the father in the story of the prodigal son waiting on the porch. And not only when he sees you will he forgive you, he'll run to meet you. Micah says he wants to forgive. He wants to pardon. He abounds in doing this. This is who God is. It's what he does. He forgives. He says, this is the heart of the God that you've been searching for and seeking. Turn to God and he'll forgive you. He'll wash away your sins. Hebrews 8 and verse 12 says, I will remember your sins no more. God has the greatest memory of any being in existence, but he will practice a sort of willful amnesia concerning your sin and mine if we turn and repent. Now, here's the last thing from Micah. Micah reaches into the future. Israel never got it right. God pulled them out of Egypt and they were supposed to be a light to the Gentile nations, but they never got it right. But God always had another plan in mind for a new group of people. And Micah talks about them. Go to Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And if you're familiar with Isaiah, you know this is Isaiah 2, but it's in Micah 4, 1 through 3. It'll come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house will be established and the top of the mountain exalted above the hills. All nations will flow into it. That's about the church of Christ. He's speaking about a future day when God's just going to start over with a new group of people. Israel never could do it, but in these last days, in the final dispensation of God, which will begin on Pentecost, all nations will flow into this new house where they won't be guilty of the sins of Old Testament Israel. They'll do it differently. Look at Micah 5 and verse 2. It's going to be as one that's born from everlasting, is brought into the earth. Micah 5 and verse 2 talks about Jesus's birth. He'd be born of a virgin in Bethlehem of Ephrathah, Micah tells us. And in Matthew chapter 2, there's the fulfillment. Jesus is born in Bethlehem. And Jesus is not only born in Bethlehem, but just like Micah spoke about in Micah 4, 1 through 3, the kingdom is brought about and you see all nations flowing into it. Not bad for a country preacher. Micah in 7 chapters has a lot to say to God's people. He says, listen, sin is serious business and God doesn't wink at it. He knows everything you're doing, the intricacies of your unrighteousness, but he calls you to straighten up and fix it. You say, well, how can I do that? What do I need to do to be right with God? He showed you, oh man, oh woman, what you have to do. Do justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Take sin as seriously as God does. Know your own condition. Get rid of a self-inflated ego and be God's person. When you turn to God, you can raise your head because God forgives openly. He'll cast your sins into the depths of the sea. You'll remember your sin before God does because God's going to forgive it and forget it. He'll give you a fresh start. And that fresh start's going to come. And what Micah calls the last days, when Jesus is born in Bethlehem and then lives the life you could never live and dies the death that you deserve to die and me and conquers the grave, not only for himself, but for everyone that will follow after. And he rises from the grave, commissions disciples to preach his gospel. And when they preach it, people from everywhere, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to Jacksonville, Florida, press into the kingdom that Micah saw by a prophetic vision in Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And he says, you enter that and you can be saved. When Peter preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he did very similar to what Micah does in these 7 chapters. He calls out the people on their sin. This Jesus, whom you crucified, you're guilty. God's made him Lord in Christ. They say, men and brethren, what shall we do? He shows them, just like Micah did, repent and be immersed. every one of you for the forgiveness of sins. Just like Micah said, you could be forgiven. Peter echoes those words and he says, God will wash away every sin, even the killing of God in the flesh. He'll forgive you. He'll cast it into the depths of the sea. He'll add you to his kingdom. And then you can go share that same story with other people. It's been almost 2,000 years, and we echo the same message tonight. Maybe somebody wants to turn to Jesus, believing that he's the Son of God. You must do it, John 8:24. Repent of your sins, Acts 17 and verse 30. God wants everybody to repent and turn from sin. He commands that we do so. Confess Jesus as the Son of God before men, Romans 10:9-10, and be immersed in water, baptized to have our sins washed away. He will wash them away, but we've got to come to him on his terms. He'll add us to his church, the kingdom of Christ, and then we can serve him faithfully for the remainder of our days. But before we sing this song, just like in the days of Micah, it's not the world out there that needs to fix their sins alone. But sometimes it's some of us, God's own people. And Micah says, he's not a true preacher. He's not a true spokesman of God that doesn't stand before God's people and says, sometimes we need to repent as well. And so maybe tonight, one of God's own needs to turn and repent, and God will forgive that as well. If we repent and turn, God will forgive it and forget it. And if you need to respond, if this is your invitation tonight, come as together we stand and as we sing.